So, who wants to make 20 bucks this morning? That's it? Yeah, you heard that. No problem. You sure you need hearing aids? Gosh. Gravies. Marley, you had your hand up. Come here, kiddo. You want to make 20 bucks? Yeah? Okay. She might want to take them off for this. Okay, so here's how you make 20 bucks. You have to run down to the other end to get this ball and bring it back. This ball. Okay. Wait, stop. I'm not done yet. Come here. So here are the rules. You have to run down to the other end and get the ball, and you have to make it back in 10 seconds. Okay. Can you do that? Maybe. Shoes off. Now we're getting serious. Maybe. You feeling confident about this?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, are you ready? Okay, on your mark. Oh, wait, I got one more thing, hold on. Okay, you have to do it with this.
Yeah, no.
What did you even put in here?
What did I put in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean stuff. Just stuff. Yeah, is it heavy? Do you think you can make it down and back in 10 seconds?
No.
I think you could try. You want to try?
I could try.
You want to try?
No.
You're saying it's impossible to make it? Are you giving up? You don't want the 20 bucks?
No, not really.
No, not that bad? Okay, all right, we'll take off the book bag. Anybody else want to try? Holly, I love you, but that ain't going to work. Nobody else? No takers? You can run there and back in 10 seconds with this bag on your back. How do we feel about this? No? The crowd says no. Okay. Sit down, Gregory. So did you notice how she was like, it's possible. I could make it. And then I put the thing on her. The backpack. Let's just see what's in this backpack. There's one book. What else? See, I can't even get it out. Two books. Three books. Four books. Five books. Okay. I wouldn't have made it either. I'm just saying. There's no way. So all of these books have a piece of tape on them that I put on them. Hey, Marley, I'll give you the 20 bucks anyways if you'll come back up and read them. Okay. And these books are all designed to represent things that commonly weigh us down in life. Okay? So what's the first one say?
Heavy relationships.
So those people that wear you out. Do you have anybody in your life that wears you out? Yeah, we know. It didn't have to be said. I think we all knew. All right. What's the other one?
Fear of the future.
Fear of the future. Any of you have a fear of the future? You're afraid of the what ifs or what's going to happen next? They're dictionaries, they're Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias, yes. All right. Why? Okay. Next one.
That person at work.
Y'all know who that person at work is, right? Okay. All right. Things that might wear you down.
Tests at school
that might wear you down, that might be a weight that's you're worried about the grade that you're going to get. Well, you're getting louder. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Finances. Any of you ever worry about money? Feel like it's weighing you down? Like you run out of month before you run out of money? Or you run out of money before you run out of month? Okay. And the last one is?
Everything else.
All right. You want your 20 bucks?
Sure.
Okay. Here's your 20 bucks. See, that was an easy $20. You have to work for it. Good job. All right. So the truth is that life, real life, is filled with weights like this. It's filled with things that will hold us down and hold us back. It's things that you feel like you got to carry them on your back every day, and it makes it nearly impossible to run the race you're supposed to run, to get through. Now, you may be someone who only has moments when you feel that way. You may be feeling like that all the time. If you don't feel that ever at all, you might have more of Jesus in your life than the rest of us. Because that's the key here. If you could honestly raise your hand today and say you've never felt these weights, that you've never felt like there are things that are weighing you down, I'm impressed. Or you're delusional, one of the two. I'm kidding. Huh? Okay, delusional it is. So we're about to start a series called Stop the Scroll. Now we'll get into what the scrolling is. For all of you who have devices out, we know what the scroll is. We'll get into that next week. But the overarching big idea of the series, am I on? No, this. I'm trying to scroll. Can you just go to the next slide for me? Thanks. All right. So the big idea of this series is to invite us to practice the discipline of healthy spiritual rest. We will challenge some of the ways we say we rest and the idea that we can thrive without rest. Because sometimes I think we can thrive without rest. The thing is, this rest that we need, both actually relief and rest, comes in one place, and it comes in the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ. It's Him who can relieve the burdens. It's Him who can help us recuperate from dealing with these and carrying these burdens, because we all carry them in some way, shape, or form. But sometimes I think we try to get through without resting in Him. We try to gut our way through. Any of you ever done that? Any of you do that like all the time? Feel like you're gutting your way through all of it. The truth is, we have limitations. We know that if you don't get sleep for a long enough time, that your mind begins to break down. I remember when we first had children, and I remember asking my mom, I remember saying, "Mom, are we ever going to get sleep ever again?" And my mom said, "When they turn 18 and they move out, that's when you're going to get sleep again." And there's moms nodding going, "Yep." And some moms going, "I still worry." But the truth is, if you don't get enough sleep, these are documented problems that can occur if you don't get enough sleep. Your memory and concentration falls apart. You become moody. Your body can also be affected. Your immune system can be depressed. You can have high blood pressure. Diabetes, the risk goes up. Weight gain, the risk goes up. Heart disease, the risk goes up. Functionally, you lose coordination, you lose balance, you become an accident risk. Truth is, we also have limitations if we do too much work. Let's say we're getting plenty of sleep, but we're still working too much. I mean, I've certainly had weeks where I was working 70 or 80 or sometimes 90 hours a week. I'm whipped by the end of that, right? I'm not of much value to my family. There are also struggles with our limitations. We can work too little. We can work, and DJ just points at himself and goes, "Me." Working too little is also a problem. Working too little means you can end up, if you're sitting around too much or laying too much, you could get, you'll get blood clots in your legs. Your legs will begin to swell. Your heart gets weaker, right? If you don't do enough in your life to move, to use some energy, to build some strength, to build some muscle, our body has limits. It can't take being abused. And we don't like to think that. We like to think that we could put the backpack on with all the books and still make it down and back in 10 seconds. But the truth is, our bodies can't do everything. And sometimes our bodies yell at us and say, time to stop. This highlights a reality for us. And something I don't like to think about, I have limits. And if I cross them, it could bring me harm. But what about spiritual limits? If we do too little work on our spiritual lives, then when adversity comes, we struggle. We struggle because those muscles are weak. Because your spiritual life is every bit of muscle just as your physical muscles are. You have to exercise it. You have to use it. James even says that faith without works is dead. The notion is that you have to put this to use. You have to do something, or if it's no value, then it'll be of no value to you or to the world that you might spread it to. You can also do too much work in your faith. And I know you're saying, the pastor's saying you can do too much work in your faith. I think you can. I think too often it's easy to fall into this place where we think if we just do all this, all these things for Jesus, if I fill my day with this list of I'm on 12 ministries, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm chasing my tail every day, all day, and I just say, I'm doing it for God, I'm doing it for God, I'm doing it for God. I think you can wear yourself out that way too if you don't rest. The truth is also, I think sometimes that becomes the defining factor of our faith. It becomes less about being in the presence of Jesus and more about how many things did I get done for Jesus today. And when that happens, it limits the role of grace. You ever met someone who simultaneously is filled with pride at all the things that they're able to do for the Lord and yet guilt that they're not able to do enough? That might be an indication that your spiritual life is less about resting in the presence of God and more about how many things can I get done in His name. Now, I say that as someone who stands up here all the time and says, we need volunteers for this and we need volunteers for that. We do. Because, again, there's a risk of doing too little work in your faith or being unengaged in the body of Christ and in what His witness is intended to be in the world. But there's also a risk of defining your faith by how much you get done. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 reminds us, for you are saved by grace through faith. That's what saves us. It's not getting a bunch of stuff done. Saves us is grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. But the one challenge we're going to address over the next couple weeks is spiritual self-deprivation. It's refusing to take time to rest in the presence of God and then wondering why we feel like we are beyond our limits. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says this, it says 16 and 17, it says, this is what the Lord says, stand by the roadways and look. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves. Go down the good way, down the good path, the godly path is the intent here, and you will find rest. But they protested, we won't. I appointed a watchman over you and said, listen for the sound of the ram's horn. That's God's call to you, to come to Him, to go down the good path, to find rest for themselves. And it says, but they protested, we won't listen. So let me ask you this. Do you know, as a follower of Jesus, if you are, do you know that you're supposed to spend time with God every day? Do you spend time with God every day? If you know you're supposed to, and you don't, we might fall in the camp of, I won't. I won't listen. We might have more in common with Jeremiah and the people of that time than we would like to believe. Refusal to listen costs us something. It costs us the rest and relief that we need. We absolutely have to have it. We cannot simply plug through and keep pushing and just assume that I'll rest when I'm dead. Have you ever heard that? You need to rest now. And you need to rest in one specific place, the presence of God. Because it is the only thing that will return life to you, that will restore you. It's not spending time on your phone, which we'll get into a lot next week. It's not packing your schedule with everything you could possibly fit into it and then saying, I didn't have time for God today. If you find yourself feeling like your wheels are spinning and you just can't catch up spiritually and you just feel drained spiritually or even physically, maybe we need to find some more time to rest in the presence of God. Rest at its best is a rhythm. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. It says, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he has done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all of his work of creation. God himself rested. Now, how is that different than our rest? God doesn't get physically tired. Okay? Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never, never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. Wouldn't that be nice, though, to not get tired? I would take that. But if it's different in that way, how is it similar? That word rested in Hebrew, both in Genesis and in this text, not in this text, but in Jeremiah, both are an indicator of work stopping. That's really what that means. Work ceases. God established this rhythm for his people from the very beginning by setting the example himself and saying, I'm going to cease working. And I'm just going to sit in the presence of my creation, and my creation will sit in my presence. I'm setting a rhythm. This Sabbath, this time of rest that I want to keep holy. God would call his people to follow this pattern. Even in the most difficult of times, he institutes the Sabbath for his people in Exodus chapter 16. If you know what's going on in Exodus chapter 16, his people are traipsing across the desert. They have left behind everything they had before because they also were leaving behind slavery. God had freed them. God had released them. But as they went into the desert, they went into the desert with plenty of gold and silver, and plenty of clothing because all the people of Egypt gave that to them. But they didn't. It doesn't say they went into the desert with a whole lot of food. So the people of God are wandering across the desert. They are literally living day by day. God is providing them the basics of what they need each and every day, but only enough for each and every day, except on the Sabbath. It says, he has established this Sabbath as a time of rest, as this religious observance, this time of abstinence, this time of just stopping and sitting in the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but when I feel like I'm just living or surviving day by day, it's really hard for me to justify stopping and just sitting in the presence of God. Because I feel like there's always more I can get done, right? Or I feel like if I just do one more thing, that maybe my finances will be better if I just work one more shift. That'll fix all my financial problems. Mental note, it doesn't. Or maybe if I just get one more thing done for him, it'll fix my heart. All of these books, if I can just carry them just one more day, I'll be okay. But funny thing, I'm just one more day's worth of tired. In chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, God warns his people. This is of Exodus. He says, you won't find any in the field on the Sabbath. You're not going to find any of that food that you need to survive in the field on that day. That, you know, where you go and you gather and you pick it up every day and you live day by day. You're not going to find it on the Sabbath day. It ain't going to be there. At best, he's trying to tell his people, you can labor all day long and you will gain nothing for it. At worst, he's telling them, you can go out there and wear yourself out, and then you're not ready to labor the next day when it's time. It'll rob you of something. Study after study shows this to be true in our work and our school lives, but God has been telling us this about our spiritual lives from the very beginning. We need to rest. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That word for in there can also mean because of. The Sabbath was made because of man. Man needs it. In the context of Mark chapter 2, it's on the Sabbath that Jesus is healing people. The Pharisees are screaming at him, going, how dare you do work on the Sabbath? And he's like, dude, I'm healing. I'm restoring. I'm refreshing. I'm helping people grow and strengthen and find relief and find rest. That's what the Sabbath is for. That's why God created it. We need it. Jesus is drawing us back to this truth that God has been telling us since the very beginning. We need spiritual rest. We need it so much that God created a rhythm of rest for his people to follow. He knows we're limited, and he says, I can help you. But why don't we always listen? How often should we rest? I heard someone say this the other day. I loved it. He said, you should divert daily. I'll summarize and I'll go back to the slides. Retreat weekly and abandon annually. Divert daily. Chuck Swindoll says, in place of our exhaustion and spiritual fatigue, God will give us rest. And if you want to know what rest looks like, this is a great description. All he asks is that we come to him. That we spend a while thinking about him. Meditating on him, talking to him, listening in silence, occupying ourselves in him or with him, totally and thoroughly lost in the hiding place of his presence. I mean, doesn't that just sound wonderful? That's what rest in the presence of God looks like. Just allowing him, listening for him, talking to him, reading his word and thinking about him, pondering his greatness and his beauty and his power and his strength and his capacity to heal and bring relief that I cannot possibly bring for myself, just stopping for a minute and breathing. Am I diverting enough? If you're asking this question of yourself, am I diverting enough? Do I divert daily enough? I'm going to say this. If you come to church on Sunday morning expecting to be completely filled from empty. You're empty when you get here, and there's going to be weeks when you have that. Happens to everybody. Sometimes the weight is too much. But if each and every week you're showing up going, I'm empty, I'm out of steam, I'm out of spiritual gas, I need something to fill my cup back up, you're probably not diverting it daily enough. Sunday gatherings are intended to have impact on our lives. They were never intended to be our sole source of spiritual rest. And sometimes I think we treat it as though they are, and then we wonder why we always feel like we're running on empty. Connection with God, sitting in His presence, was meant to be a daily activity, not just once a week for a couple of hours. Retreat weekly. Spurgeon says it this way, rest time is not waste time. Sometimes I think if we're sitting down and doing nothing in the presence of God for a minute, we feel like we're wasting time. There are so many other things I could do. So many other items I could check off my list. So many other things I could get done or people I could please. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. I think we even do that with our Sabbath, with our Sunday. I think we don't let it last long enough. Originally, when God implemented the Sabbath, it was intended to be how long? 24 hours. How many of you do nothing for 24 hours once a week? Yeah, I can't raise my hand either. It's not going to happen. But I think we need to be careful. If you're going to choose this to be your time of retreating weekly, I'm retreating to be with other believers in the presence of God, which, by the way, I think is extremely important to our walk with God. We can't do it in a silo. We need others. But if we're getting here at 9 o'clock or 9:45 or 10:05, right, and saying, I sure hope we're done by 11:30 because I have a lunch date. Don't be in such a hurry to get in and then back out of the presence of God so quickly. He has the capacity to move our hearts and our minds. He has the capacity to give us the rest and relief that we all desperately need in this crazy, messed up world where things are not right. And yet sometimes I feel like on the day we're supposed to spend in Sabbath, we are so quickly trying to get it done and over with, check the box, get on to the next thing. I've got a list. How many of you have a list of things you need to do after church today? Be careful if you're going to retreat weekly, not to be in such a hurry for it to be over with. Let Him do the work He needs to do. Sit in His presence. Ponder Him. Think of Him. Let Him give you relief. The third one is abandon annually. How many of you with small children are going, I would love to abandon annually just for a couple of days? Right? Abandoning annually is not an easy thing to do. But I think it's wise to say, you know, once a year, I'm going to take at least a couple of days of vacation time. And I know it's precious. And I'm going to find time for me and God to just be together. Imagine that. Just a couple of days. If you could pull off longer than that, I would say go for it. But can you imagine how much your spiritual life changes if you can just spend a few days with God? Just a few days. Just you and Him. No devices. No email. No somebody going, Mom, 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 Mom. Just a minute to just a couple of days to be with God. I would encourage you to try to find that time. I don't do a good enough job of finding that time. But it is so beneficial when I do. And then I ask myself, well, why didn't I do that more often? The truth is, we have to respect our spiritual limitations. We have to recognize we can't do this alone. We can't run this race effectively with all the stuff we carry with us each and every day without God to give us rest and God to give us relief. Respecting those limitations reminds us that it is God who is God. We are not. Did you hear that? God is God. I am not God. I am not all-powerful. I am not omnipotent. I am not omnipresent. Believe me, I would love to divide myself in three different parts at times, right? To be in three different places at the same time. Raise your hand if you feel that way once in a while. Okay. But I can't. Stopping, pausing to be in his presence reminds me that it is God that will carry me and not me that will carry me. It's one of his commandments that we will... Ten. That's it. Ten commandments. It's one of the top 10 things that we need to do to follow the Lord, right? It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, where he introduces it, it says, "For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and declared it holy." God could create everything in 6 days, and he still found time to rest. If we struggle to follow a command to rest, how much harder is it for us to listen to a command when he says, go and do, and it's going to require something of us? Rest. Be in his presence. Respecting our spiritual limitations reminds us that we can't save ourselves, only his grace can. Right? Only his grace. Means you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get absolutely everything done at the expense of your time with God. That one extra thing is not going to be worth nearly as much to your heart, your soul, your spirit, and the value you bring to others around you as spending time with the Lord. And there are many of us that I know you deeply in this room, and I know you're feeling like you've always got to do one more thing. Sometimes you just need to breathe. It's amazing how often, if I find the time to just not do that one more thing, how often I find out that God has already made a way to make it happen anyways. It's like he doesn't need me or something. If you feel like you can't set aside time to rest because you feel guilty about it, you feel like you're letting yourself or somebody else down, we're living into the delusion that somehow we're the ones who are going to get it all done. And nothing could be further from the truth. Respecting our spiritual limitations gives us margin to evaluate our priorities. I was reading a story this week of a man who fell into a grain store in Germany. It's generally that doesn't end well. He fell into a grain store. This is in 2002. He fell into a grain store, and he at least had the wherewithal not to panic and not to thrash and wail. Because if you do, you sink faster. It's kind of like that thing out of Harry Potter. The devil's snare, where you fight and you struggle and you twist and you turn and it just sucks you in tighter. Quicksand, by the way, does the same thing. If you ever find yourself falling into quicksand, lay down, spread out, because it causes your weight to be more evenly distributed and you don't sink as quickly. But this man falls into the grain bin. He doesn't panic. There's enough time to even call the fire department. The fire department comes. They lower a guy down on a rope in the grain bin, and they put oxygen on him so he can breathe, so he can get a little bit of air, because all he's breathing in is dust. And so for a second, he feels a little better. He's got a little bit of relief. But even then, as he's every time he exhales and his chest contracts a little bit, when he breathes out, a few more grains fall in next to his body. And it's gradually squeezing him so he can no longer breathe. One of the firemen sees this big piece of tube or pipe. And so he has an idea. So he gets this big tube or pipe that's bigger around than the man is, and they lower it into the bin, and they nestle it to the bottom of the bin around the man. Does an interesting thing. Now it's the pipe that's carrying the weight. Now they can stick a hose in, and they can suck out the grains that are around the man, and because the pipe is there, no longer will it crush him. And they can lift him out, and he is free, and he lives. It's a miraculous event for sure. But I think sitting and resting in the presence of God is very much like allowing God to put a pipe around us. When the world feels like it's suffocating you, it allows the Lord, being in his presence, creates a boundary around you. And he can begin to remove the things that are weighing you down, or the things that feel like they're closing in on you. Finally, being willing to sit in the presence of God allows us to lean on Jesus. One of the first scriptures I can remember ever reading that I was like, I'm going to memorize this thing because it speaks to me in my time and my place where I was in that moment. It's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me." I'm reading it different than when I memorized it. "Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Resting, leaning into Jesus, puts us in the place where we are able to lean into what we're intended to lean to all along. It is the place where your burdens are going to be relieved. It is the place where you can gain an understanding of the peace and the joy that the Lord wants us to have and who he is. And it's the place where we have a chance to heal, refresh, and be restored. Don't be in a hurry to get out of his presence. Don't be so busy trying to get things done that you miss being in his presence every day. Because just like air and just like food, if you want your spirit to thrive, you need to be with him, because he's the only thing that could nourish it. Hands down, the only thing. So as I close, I want to pray. And I believe we have a talent offering. Yeah? Mr. Bob. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you feel like you are out of gas, if you feel like you are out of steam spiritually, and you don't know which end is up, I would love to know that, or tell somebody else next to you so they can pray with you and for you. Because we're supposed to be that for one another. We're supposed to be together as we're retreating weekly into the presence of God with other believers. We're supposed to not just trust one another, but lean on one another in difficult times. Because only being in his presence will we find this rest that we so desperately need. So let's pray. Father God, there are those in this room today who are tired. They are spiritually worn out. There's more coming at them in a given day than they ever thought humanly possible. They can't do it alone. And yet somehow we convince ourselves that it's our job to try to do it all by ourselves. Lord, I pray that you will give them rest today. That you will help them find the relief that only you can provide, that you will renew their strength, and most importantly, that we will allow you to do that. Sometimes we're just so busy doing our own thing that we don't stop long enough to let you do what you wanted to do all along. Lord God, thank you for providing relief. Thank you for providing strength. Thank you, most of all, for providing salvation that also only comes through you. It is in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.